Romans 13, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who's in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, you must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are due, owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. And here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn once again to the back of your Psalter hymnals, this time to page 52 in the back section. Page 52, this is Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism. The Catechism, one of the three confessions of our congregation. Confessions that we believe are true to the Word of God. We are systematically working our way through the Catechism this morning up to Lord's Day 39. And I will read question 104, and you may respond with the answer as found on page 52. Question 104, what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? Well, last week we actually did a little bit of a change in the commands. We dealt with the sixth commandment last week, that we could deal with the fifth commandment this week. But we noticed already then that there is a broadness in the law of God. Last week, talking about you shall not murder. Was this perhaps the easy commandment? None of us have committed murder. And yet we saw that there is a breadth to the commands. That command included not only murder outright, but any gestures, any looks, any words, any thoughts that I have that might kill my neighbor. The same is true this morning in the fifth commandment. It certainly deals specifically with children and their parents. But as our confession points out, it is much broader than that. It is a call to all of us to be in subjection, properly submitting to those in authority over us. So it would be easy this morning for the parents to just nudge their kids and say, this is a sermon for you, and I'm going to take my 20-minute, 30-minute, 40-minute nap right now. No, we won't go 40 minutes. But it is a sermon for all of us, because all of us are called to properly submit to the authorities over us. We look at Romans 13, a text that deals fairly specifically with our responsibilities to submit to the governing authorities, but it also gives us the general principle of submitting to all those in authority over us. It is a sermon for all of us this morning, not just for kids. The first thing we recognize is that the call to submit is a command of God. It's not just a good idea. It's not just something parents came up with to make the lives of their children hard. It is God's command. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. We as children, submit to our parents because God has placed them in authority over us. And that certainly does obligate us. It obligates those of us who are under authority to give proper honor and respect and loyalty to our father and mother. It obligates all of us who live under an authority relationship to recognize that authority comes from God Himself. And we'll talk about how that obligates those of us under authority, but we must not forget it also obligates those who are in authority. It obligates those who are in authority to recognize your authority comes not in your person, in yourself, but your authority, whether that be as parent, whether that be as employer, whether that be as office bearer in the church, your authority comes from God and must be exercised in a godly way. Those of us in authority cannot run roughshod over those who are under our authority. But we recognize God has placed us here. And as such, we must exercise that authority in a way that is pleasing to God. We think of the husband-wife relationship. I mentioned Brianna and Nick's wedding this past summer. The husband-wife relationship is an authority relationship. And husbands, you have been placed in authority over your wives, but don't forget, that is not the authority to do whatever you want. That is not the authority to treat her like dirt. It is an authority given to you that you might properly care for her, minister to her, love her, provide for her. Being in authority obligates you to exercise that authority in a way that is pleasing to God. Parents, you have been placed in authority over your children. But that does not mean you can do whatever you want. It means you recognize your authority comes from God. And you are to deal with these children in the way God would have you deal with them. We read in verse 3. Would you, for rulers not a terror to those with good conduct but to bad? Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good and you will receive his approval, for he is a servant for your good. Parents, we are servants of God for the good of our children. Well, for them to do what is good, we have to teach them what is good. Parents, as those who are in authority over your children, you have an obligation. An obligation to teach them, to guide them, to instruct them in the way of the Lord. This command not only obligates those under authority, but those in authority. Parents, teach your children the ways of God. Teach your children the songs of Zion. Teach your children the Bible stories. Teach them all the truth of God's Word. That is your obligation as those placed in authority over them. Teaching, instructing in what is good. And the text says, receiving approval. Recognize when your children do it right. It's so easy for us as parents to pick out when they do it wrong. It's so easy that that's the only time we actively engage our children with serious conversation. But to use a catchphrase from the world, catch them doing things right and approve of their good behavior. And recognizing when they are acting as godly children. And encourage them in that. This command of God obligates those who are in authority to exercise that authority in a way that is pleasing to God as parents, to build up our children, encouraging them in their faith. And correcting them when they do wrong. Verse 4. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. Not recognizing the work of the state. In the home, we are called as parents to discipline our children. That shouldn't surprise you, kids. It shouldn't surprise you when mom and dad discipline you. That's their job. That's their obligation. That's what God calls them to do. Now, that discipline will take different forms in different homes. It will take different forms at different times in our kids' life. The discipline of a 2-year-old is certainly different than the discipline of a 12-year-old. But nevertheless, parents, you are called to discipline your children. Discipline in love. Discipline in patience, but discipline to help them in their walk with the Lord. The command to submit to authority not only obligates those who are under authority, it obligates those who are in authority. It's a command that comes to all of us. Now, for those of us who are under authority, our confession helps spell out just a bit what that will look like. It will be shown in our actions. What's God's will in the fifth command? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. Honor and love and be loyal. We are, first of all, to honor those of us, those in authority over us. This has to be seen in the way that we act. Honoring those in authority. Now, we honor someone because they're in authority, not necessarily because they're better than we are. Again, think of the husband-wife relationship. Oh, husbands, if we are honest, we will admit our wives are smarter than we are, our wives are wiser than we are, our wives are more godly than we are, and they're better looking than we are, too. But wives, in a certain sense, that's all beside the point. Because you have been called, as a godly wife, to honor your husband. Even if you know a better way of doing it, even if your way is better, God has placed him in authority over you. His authority comes not in his person, but in the role he's been given to play. Young ladies, remember that. Particularly those of you who are perhaps moving toward a relationship of marriage, God is calling you to lovingly honor this man, whether he's right or not. Can you do that? That's God's call to those who are under authority. To honor the one, not because he's smarter, not because he's better, but because God has determined there will be an authority structure in the husband-wife relationship. And the husband is the head of the wife. Women, think about that before you say, I do. Because after, you are bound by the oath to God to honor this man. Children, you are called to honor your parents. And again, in a certain sense, it doesn't matter if they're right or wrong, because God has placed them in authority over you. God has placed them in a place where they are given to help to guide you and direct you, and that's their job. Your job is to listen to that direction. Your job is to listen to their instruction. And when they do discipline you, your job is to repent, to confess, and to do things God's way. Whether or not Mom and Dad are right or wrong. When our kids were growing up, I tried to avoid saying, do it just because I said so. I tried to avoid that. And I would encourage parents to avoid that as well. But there is a ring of truth in that statement. Children, you are to obey your parents just because they said so. Because God has given them the authority. The way you honor them may change over time. The character of your relationship with your parents will change as you grow older. Those of you who are college students know that it's different going back home after that first Christmas. It's different going back home to be in mom and dad's house again. And more directly under their authority again. The relationship may change, the quality of that relationship may change, but the command does not change. We as children are always to honor our parents. Now, how we do that and how we express that may change over time as we grow, as we mature, but your parents will always be your parents. And you are always called to honor them as those whom God has given to you to help you, whether you're 2 or 12 or 22 or 52. We still honor our father and our mother. We are called as members of the church to honor the office bearers whom God has placed in authority over us. Now, this idea of honoring the office bearers runs counter to culture. Culture says all men are created equal. We're all the same. Who are you to tell me what I can and cannot do? Do not forget, God has called the elders of the church to their position. We have elected them, but God has called them. And as such, they exercise the authority of Christ, the ruling authority of Christ, in our midst for our good as a blessing to us. We are called to submit to the elders of the church. Submit. Submit whether we agree with them or not. Because God has placed them in authority over us. Oh, we may discuss decisions that are made. We may interact with decisions that are made. But when that interaction is over, and when a decision has finally been made, we are called to submit to the authority of Christ and to the local office bearers. This morning, one of the questions that I asked each of these three men is, if you should become delinquent either in doctrine or in life, will you submit? That's part of being a professing member of the church. Willingness to submit to the authority of the elders. For those members that joined us this morning, they are voluntarily, willingly placing themselves under the authority of the local elders for their own good, as a blessing to them. God calls us to submit when we are under authority. And even as citizens of the state. Now that's what Paul's addressing directly. The governmental relationships of authority. To submit to those in the government in authority over us. And sometimes that's more easy and sometimes that's more difficult. One of the ways that we honor those in authority over us is we pray for them. Praying for our leaders. Praying for our local, our state, our national leaders. Praying for our president. In some ways, whether we agree with him or not. Because God has placed him in authority over us. God raises up rulers. God takes down rulers. But we believe in God's absolute sovereignty over every area of our lives, including the state. And God calls us to honor those in authority over us, to pray for those in authority over us. How do we talk about the civic rulers? How do we talk about the elected officials? Parents, your children will learn about submission by the way that you submit. If you talk casually, if you talk crassly about the governmental authority over you, don't be surprised when they talk the same way about you. Because you've taught them that's what submission looks like. It's okay to do that. Our children will learn from us. When we disagree with those governing authorities and yet honor them and properly articulate our disagreement, our children will learn that too. That it's okay to disagree, but it's not okay to dishonor. Our children will learn what their role is by watching our relationship to those in authority over us. How do we refer to the police officer who pulled us over for going 66 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone? What words do we use to describe him? Our children will learn about proper honor from us. We are to honor, we are to love those in authority over us. And love is that expression of obedience expressed in actions. It doesn't make a lot of sense to say I honor someone then not obey them and not do what they say and not flesh that out in some real way. But that obedience can be done in two ways. It can be the obedience of a slave or the obedience of a child. The obedience of a slave says, yes, I recognize the authority and I will externally conform to what they ask of me. But my heart is a million miles away. Not done out of love, not done out of a true spirit of submission, but simply because I have to. I have to do it. That's the obedience of a slave. Is it obedience? Sure it is. It's obedience. But not true submission. Not out of love, demonstrating the honor of that authority. That's the obedience of a child. A child who just wants to please mom and dad. When our kids, especially when they're younger, they just want to make mom and dad happy. They'll draw a picture and say, I made this for you. You kind of look at it. What is it, honey? They made it for you to make you happy. That's the obedience that God calls us to. A loving devotion to those in authority over us. This is the blessed relationship of parent and child. That we lovingly express our honor in the obedience we offer to those in authority. It's not under compulsion, not simply externally. It is a matter of the heart. We are to honor, we are to love, we are to be loyal to those in authority over us. Loyalty. Not quickly leaving them. Being patient with their failings. Kids, I can tell you assuredly that as your parents raise you, they will make mistakes. But I can also tell you assuredly, they will never make a decision that deliberately seeks to hurt you. That may end up being the outcome. That a decision that they make at a certain time, which they believe is right, ends up going bad. But they will never deliberately do something to try to harm you. When those situations arise, that when they, in the best of their efforts, end up making a decision that is not a good one, you are called to be patient with them. To be loyal to them, to continue to honor and to love them in obedience. We may not say that our folks made one mistake, now we can do our own thing. But be patient with those in authority over us. Be loyal to them. As husbands and wives, we will have times of difficulty in our marriages perhaps. In that time, we are still to be loyal to the one in authority over us. As members of the church and office bearers, we're called to be loyal. The office bearers of this church are making a lot of decisions right now. Foundational, fundamental decisions. We would ask that if they make those decisions with the best of intention and they even turn out wrong, that the congregation remain loyal to the office bearers. We can revisit things. We can look again. But we will never make a decision that will deliberately seek to hurt God's people. And if that's the outcome in God's providence, we as members are still called to be loyal to those in authority over us. Because this is the way of blessing. Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you. What a wonderful blessing. doesn't say that with the sixth commandment. Don't murder so it will go well with you. Don't commit adultery so it will go well with you. But this one. Honor your father and your mother that you may be blessed in your living, that it may go well with you. It is good for us. It is good for us to submit to authority because it leads and guides us in the right way. Verse 3, the rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one in authority? Then do what is good. It is good for us to properly submit to the authorities over us. It is the path of blessing. God knew that. That's why He put authority in place. That's why they help us in our walk with Him. It's good for us in all the relationships we have. It is the path of blessing. In marriage, when a husband is what a godly husband is and the wife is what a godly wife is, that's where blessing comes. When we each fulfill our roles the way God intended. This is the path of blessing in marriage. In the home, parent and child. Kids, you want to have a good life? You want to enjoy being at home? Then have a proper relationship with your parents. This is the path of blessing. Properly honoring, loving, being loyal to them. You know how that goes. You know when you're angry with mom and dad, things just don't feel right. It doesn't feel good. But when you submit, when you honor, when you love, when you are loyal to them, you know this is the path of blessing. This is the way God calls you to go. The same is in the church. The same is in the state. To properly submit, it is the path of blessing for us. God Himself showed us what proper submission, what proper blessing looks like. When He sent His Son, the Son was submissive to the Father. Equal in power, equal in divinity, but yet willing to submit Himself to the Father. There is a Father-Son relationship in the Trinity. And that submission of Christ was a submission for our blessing. Because God sent Him and the Son did what the Father asked and the Son came and died on the cross for our sins that we might be in a relationship with Him. The Son willingly submitted to the authority of the Father, even though He was God Himself. He did not consider equality with God something to be held on to. But He humbled Himself, taking the form of a servant, of a man. Humbled Himself to death on the cross. And that submission was the greatest blessing for all of us. Because it brought us into a loving and living relationship with God, our Father. And on the basis of Christ's submission, we are called to submit. Because we have been called children of God. Children born of the Spirit. Children called into a loving, living relationship with God our Father. And obeying Him and submitting to Him and honoring and loving and being loyal to Him is truly the path of blessing for all of God's people. May God give us the grace to properly submit to all those in authority over us, especially to our Father in heaven. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your law. A law which instructs us, a law which teaches us, which guides us and corrects us. We pray that You would help us all to properly recognize our relationship to You and our relationship to one another. May we properly submit in love to those in authority over us. And for those who are in authority, may we properly in love guide and direct those under our authority. We know, O God, in this we will find the path of blessing. And in this, ultimately, You receive all glory and honor and praise. Help us, O God, to walk in Your glorious ways. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.